So it's the player to do that after.
We were going to do this first.
Okay.
So, starting the parkour meeting, if we are recording. If you
okay. Want, okay. So we're going to start the parkour and then go outside?
Yes, yeah. So okay. We'll do all the beginning stuff.
Could you please call the roll?
Member Kate, Cole Pease.
Present.
Member Carrie.
Mary?
Member Carrie.
She muted herself.
She's on mute.
Okay. I'll just... We all heard her. She's here. Member Ingram?
Present.
Sorry, I'm here. Present.
Member Brandenburg?
Present.
And Member Dobbs?
Here.
We have a quorum.
So we are approving the minutes from the last meeting. Are there any changes, additions, revisions? All those in favor of the minutes as presented, please say aye.
Aye.
All those aye. Opposed? The ayes have it, and the minutes are approved as presented.
Thank you.
Next up will be the... Are we walking? Okay.
Can
next
we
up.
Do audience comment first? Do we have anyone in the audience?
Oh, sure. We are now going to have audience comments before we adjourn to our dedication. Are there any audience comments? No audience comments today.
Before we adjourn, Chair?
Yes.
May I make an introduction before we walk over?
Of course.
Thank you. So I would like to introduce King County Council Member Pete von Reichbauer. And this is our park board. And so thank you for being here with us tonight. I just want everybody to know how valuable he is as our council member to our community. He's looks out for us and helps us out a lot of different ways, more ways than he will ever let on that he helps us out. But the grant that we receive for the boulder is maybe council member Pete von Reichbauer making sure that we are aware of it and helps us apply for those grants and gets that funding to our city. We got this one and we just received another one. And so that's going to go towards the new play equipment that's going to go over in Milwaukee to replace that. Anyway, I've invited him here tonight to, I know that your chair has been wanting to do a ribbon cutting with the boulder. And so we invited the council member to be with us here tonight. So with that, I would love to invite everybody. Actually, before we do that, maybe go around and introduce yourselves to the council member.
I'm Kate Hall Pease, and I guess that's who I am.
I'm Wes Bradenburg.
I'm Mara Dobbs.
Hey, Regina Ingram.
This is Nikki. She's our assistant clerk, and she takes the minutes of the meeting. Hey, Chris.
I'm Chris Farber. I'm the associate planner here.
So you know Kevin?
Okay.
Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah, he's a great guy. And then go ahead, Councilmember.
Oh, Councilmember Sherry Beverly. Good seeing you. Nice to meet you.
I'm also Councilmember Kevin and Katie Beverly.
Thank you.
Fine.
Mr. Brown, introduce yourself.
I live in Jovita.
Good. You're very lucky.
Yeah. My name is Mark Bowes. Glad to meet you.
Thank you.
Excellent. So with that, Nikki, if you want to join the meeting, we'll all walk over and do our ribbon.
And a Parks Board inspection report. So this is our new format.
Yes. And so I would like to say a little something about this before we get going. Jason had vacation from July and August. That's why it's a little lighter than normal.
Okay. Is there any way you could make it just a little bit bigger? Thank you. Mm-hmm. Lots of graffiti at City Park.
Skirt dryer. Oh.
Wow. Why would anyone dig a knee-deep hole
Hey, can you read it? I can't read it.
Sure. It says, for City Park, it says lots of graffiti on structures. Somebody discarded a dryer. New basketball hoop torn down. A bed and box spring were dumped at the park. Giant knee-deep hole dug. And then at Milwaukee, cracked bench is still okay. Moles, but at sunset, climbing rock steps cracked. Need replacing. Resident pruned every tree and left all the debris. The trail, the war memorial site's under construction, mowing and cleanup. And then other is large increase in garbage and appliances in the parks.
Appliances.
Like dryers.
I wasn't aware that's where you put them, but okay.
They can get a rusty rack.
Thank you. So it looks like appliances are our new moles.
Apparently so, and I think that's the first time we've seen it in multiple instances in one report period.
Well, we know that they're coming by truck, because you just can't fit like a dryer in, like...
You're just not walking around carrying it, right?
Well, hopefully.
That's what I'm not.
I would think if you were on a hand truck, somebody would notice you, but I don't know.
Yeah, like somebody had to have saw something.
Yeah, so like see it, report it, observe and report. What do we do?
I do notice, though, that a lot of people, like, just like in my neighborhood here, they don't want to say nothing. Nobody wants to say anything. Everybody thinks it's. They just turn their heads and don't say nothing. It's okay. I don't get it. I don't understand it. Like, if I would have saw somebody walk in with a dryer and drop, I would have said something. You know, most people would, I think. I don't understand it.
Are there cameras near the city park?
There's
yes.
One.
So it's facing, I've seen the feed that faces into the park, and I'm not sure exactly where the appliances were found. It might have been out of view of the camera.
But we can review the information. Is something recorded with the camera?
I'm not positive on the specifics of recording and then keeping the recordings for, you know, X amount of time. So I'm not sure. I can ask about it and find out.
And then the climbing rock at sunset, about how much is it going to cost to replace the steps?
I think we're still working on an estimate on that.
Okay.
Because it's some hard plastic and it's just been broken.
Okay.
So we don't want it to be a snag their arm or anything, get a bad cut.
So I'm assuming that the climbing rock is closed. Like roped off or something. I don't know.
I know Jason's done stuff like that in the past with like caution tape, but the next time he goes by, it'll be ripped off.
Of course.
So.
Okay. Are there any questions about the report format? Because this is our second time seeing it. This is our second time seeing it.
So, and just to be clear on the, when it's completely filled out in the manner that would reflect what's being done about these situations, is there going to be another column that we can sort of follow up on to know?
Yeah, and I've been working with Jason to figure out exactly, you know, what worked for him. And I think just adding a follow-up, like for disposing of appliances, is you have to, you know, load it in the truck and take it to the dump.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. I think that's definitely something that could be added.
Okay. Yes. But the format, it looks fine. I guess just having more detail.
Okay.
That's what would be helpful.
So are all residents of Pacific still required to pay for garbage?
Yes, from waste management.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
And do we have a free appliance, like broken appliance collection of any sort? Is there any?
I know they have one in, at the super mall. They mail out those flyers like twice a year or once a year or something. They do a big thing. But I don't think we have in this, like, alone.
Okay. Well, we had a company here, UpTech, I think it was, that would recycle those appliances. And I don't think there was a cost to it for appliances unless it had refrigerant. So. But you have to get it there. But they managed to get it to our park. But
I don't think they could
get it to UpTech. And that's a work of business.
Is there any way we could see about apartment recycling? Great. Appliance recycling.
Yeah, I can look into that.
But,
okay.
I mean, for us to know that, for the city to get rid of those, that's fine. But how to stop people from dumping them there, you'd want some kind of...
I think we could add it to the utility bill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because everyone in the Pacific gets a utility bill.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think, you know, working on getting a recycling partnership to make sure appliances aren't dumped in the parks and they're disposed of correctly. Because like you said, free on stuff that's not good for the environment.
As an aside, somebody who just walked in once found a refrigerator and the cops had to open it because we didn't know what would be inside, not mentioning her name.
Mm-hmm. There wasn't a body in there, was there?
There was not.
Okay, good, good.
We were very excited by that.
Great. That's encouraging.
Okay, so next up, our next agenda topic. Yes.
Before we move on, as you probably know, I've spent a fair amount of time working on these inspection reports. One thing I've noticed that there is that whoever is looking at Jason's work has to define where to cut off the amount of janitorial work that he's doing. Because it seems as though the majority of his time is spent, rather than improving the parks, is just cleaning up the parks. So whoever is, I don't know who is looking at Jason's reports and then taking them and putting them into the inspection report that comes here, there has to be some qualifying schedule for whoever is doing that to be able to determine where do you cut off standard janitorial work, like picking up paper versus picking up larger items, like maybe an appliance. You see, there's a cutoff point of where you call it janitorial work, picking up paper, and then just pure vandal activity where they're dumping things big. You see what I mean? There has to be some sort of a qualifier.
So for smaller items, like if you're talking about a paper or a candy wrapper, JP will just put littering in. If it's something out of the ordinary, like an appliance, a bed and box frame, he'll specifically list those things. So he's putting exactly what he's finding, and if it's just generic trash, he just puts litter. You know, if it's a gum wrapper, whatever it is, Coke bottle, he'll just put litter.
But it seems as though pretty much in the eye of the beholder, what we see coming here in the inspection report, because there's a cutoff point between vandal activity versus just standard janitorial.
So it's not in the eye of the beholder, it's in the eye of Jason, who is there every day doing this work and cleaning up.
Okay, so what he does is puts down, this was just a small thing. They left a bicycle here. Does that get on the report to us, or is it something that we have to even think about?
I can't comment if he's found any bicycles, but like I just said, if it's a larger item like an appliance or a bed and box room, he will specifically say that those items were found. But he's not gonna itemize each individual piece of litter that he finds.
Well, it seems from what I've seen of his reports, the majority of it has to do with just cleaning up. That to me seems like, he should change his title to janitor rather than lead harsh definition.
Well, I think there's a line between hiring someone to come in and maintain our parks. They're going to do a variety of work to do that. I think there's a line that needs to be drawn between what we ask of him and what we trust in him. And we trust in him and his supervisor to make sure he's doing the work that we request of him. We all live in the city, and I go through the parks, and I see things that I don't like occurring in the parks, but I've yet to go through there and be like, I wish Jason was taking care of this, and he's not, and it didn't show up on our parks report. I haven't seen anything like that yet. But I don't want to get into the business of micromanaging someone that we trust to do this work in our city.
What is the concern behind this?
I think the concern is that Jason is doing like cleaning and less maintenance.
Well, Carmen's job is just clean the park when he goes there. He cleans up garbage, but he doesn't pick up the big stuff like you guys are talking about. It's noted of how the works goes and gets up. And so I don't know if it's showing up on the report or not, but he doesn't usually pick it up. It's noted in public works goes and picks it up.
Okay. I guess we just assumed that he was picking up the dryer.
You're talking about appliances or stuff like that.
Okay.
He doesn't have the time.
Right.
That's not, you know, the guys will go grab that. He'll make a note of it, or generally what I get is pictures, and I assign somebody to go get it. I don't know if it shows up on a report. I don't know how nitpicky you want to get about reports.
Right.
I thought the concern for the park board was maintenance and equipment and that kind of thing.
Yeah, safety and cleanliness.
Yeah.
And I would think cleaning up litter would be part of that, I would think.
We hire the seasonals, too, that help Jason, you know, throughout the summertime, because obviously that's when we need the most work done.
Right.
With our parks. And so that's, I was trying to understand what the real concern was. I'm sorry if that created a lot of noise on the video. But if the concern is if he's doing too much, well, as we put more parks on board, he's doing a lot.
Yeah.
You know, next year we probably need to budget for three seasonals to help him, because there's a lot of pruning, and I mean, things are thriving in our city. And so those are the challenges, and then he takes vacation and, you know, those kinds of things. But
oh, he just let the next door neighbor prune him. That was a joke. Okay.
It actually happened.
I know it did.
So,
because he left all of them
by the hose. Look down by the hose.
Why don't we move on? I think you already talked about C, which is the alterations, adding the follow-up. So let's talk now about Waterworks Wetland Restoration Grant Update for Pacific Meadows.
So July 31st was the due date for the second quarter's expenses, and so that included stuff with the wetland biologist. And so moving forward, I would like to use contractors for the rest of the blackberry removal, just because it's so labor intensive, and we've had challenges getting volunteers. And so we'd like to use a contractor to clear some of the blackberries, and then in the fall, bring back our wetland biologist we have on contract, and then she'll supervise a planting day.
How much more money do we have in the grant?
About, I want to say $37,000.
So it can afford to have
contractors.
Yes,
it can be afford, yep.
Any questions about our Waterworks Wetland Restoration Grant? Okay. Yes, Mark.
Has there been an alternative to glyphosate for eradication chemically?
We're not using any chemicals. It'll all be removed with by hand and small tools.
Is it possible to use something that is acceptable, maybe some kind of salt or something that wouldn't contaminate the environment?
So we talked to the wetland biologist when she was out here doing a site visit, and the issue is due to the scale of the infestation. It just we end up using a lot more chemicals than we would want. We have to put signs out, sensitive area, chemicals in use, and we just don't want to do that.
So there are no chemicals that would be acceptable.
No.
Oh, okay, all right.
So next up is the ongoing coordination with Public Works.
So I lumped a couple of these things in together, the safety bollards on the trail, the gate at Beaver Park, and it's just, it's a matter of sitting down with Rick and just hammering some of this stuff out. I'd still like him to call into one of our meetings just so you guys can meet him and talk to him. He's on vacation right now, so maybe the September meeting, it's hard to say.
You know that the gate in Beaver Meadows has been a topic for the last few meetings and well before I got here. I guess I don't understand why, if we don't know either direction whether we can or cannot lock that gate, and right now it's unlocked, why can't we lock it while we figure this out?
Because it's been 4 years.
I'm sorry, we locked it at one time and right. My email blew up.
Yeah.
With the people in the area angry that we were locking that because they couldn't get walk their dog onto the trail. They couldn't go through the park to get to the trail. So that's why we decided to go ahead and unlock it. But I got a lot of emails prior to we need to lock it because people were afraid of who's coming off the trail into the park. And so that's where they came up with the kissing gate, because they don't want this gate to open up into the trail and hurt a biker that was coming, but still create safety. And there's just been a lot of challenges and different people working on that. But the kissing gate will happen. But that's the whole story behind that. Right now, I have not had one complaint that gate has been left open. So, and I just assume leave it like that until further notice.
It seems like from this board that there are people that are wanting it locked. I mean, I guess if there are no complaints about it being unlocked, I guess I don't understand why we can push
well,
it.
And so
I understand you're not going to make everybody happy, but
I think that's when I locked it, is because this board had recommended having it locked.
No, we asked if it was an ADA issue, and previous people have not been able to answer that question. And then a previous person said, "I'll lock it." And we were like, "Oh, okay," because they said it wasn't an ADA issue. And then your email blew up. And then he said, "It is an ADA issue." So we have not been getting the communication has been.
And it is an ADA issue. If you look at the way the design is of that park and the way the sidewalk is, there's a ramp that goes on and it continues all the way and connects to the trail. So that was the design of it, so that it would have ADA access. And if you go down to like County Line or Roy Road, there's ADA access to the trail.
So,
and the same with Third. So, and you're right, that did come into play too. I totally forgot. So you said that, and I remember looking at the picture. This is why, because it was Jack and I having this conversation. And the way that it was designed, if you look at the park and the way the sidewalk, and right there on the edge where the fence is, there's the ramp, the ADA ramp, and it connects to that and goes all the way to the trail through that gate.
I find it an interesting topic. I live in that community. And I bought a spec home there. So I was one of the original, six houses that were built in there.
Uh-huh.
And personally, I don't have a preference either direction. So when I get here, I find out that there's pushing either direction for it. And I guess I'm just kind of confused at where we stand on this.
And I think that's a really good question, because I thought we were good. But are we not?
Well, we still would like that kissing gate to be,
and that's going
to
happen.
So,
that will happen.
Yeah,
and then it solves both issues.
Yeah, I think
right?
that's where I left off.
And here's the thing.
Can I say something, please? I would like to speak about something.
Yeah.
So when I first bought this house here, that gate was locked. They opened it to do the finish the construction on the trail, and never locked it when they got done. So it was locked when I moved here. There was no way to get into that, onto that trail. So
well,
I don't understand. basically, what I'm going to tell you is last week, that kid on that dirt bike was on the trail, came off the trail, stopped in that park right there, okay, looked at me like, and I'm like, what's he going to do? Like, what? He rode a wheelie out of that park, past my street, and did 50 down my road, and flipped me off while he was doing this. Because I told him to slow down. And what are you doing riding in the park? So the gate, I mean, I don't care one way or the other because it doesn't matter what I have to say about it or what I don't think it really matters because it won't trump the emails and people being unhappy about not being able to walk one block over to get on the trail. It's a way nicer entrance at County Line Road, let me tell you, than getting on right here. If you're walking, it shouldn't make a difference if you have to walk one block. It shouldn't really matter. Like I said, when I bought my house in January of 2018, that gate was locked. So I don't know. We can take it off the agenda if you guys are going to do the kitchen gate. That's perfectly fine. But I'm telling you, there's always at night, there's always people over there when it's dark and I can't see over there. There's no lighting over there. So I don't know what's going on over there. I can hear them, but I cannot see them. So I don't know if they're people from the neighborhoods or people coming off the trails. I don't know. I can't see. And I'm not going to go out there in the middle of the night and look. But I can hear them.
Do our parks have a curfew?
Yes. Yeah, they are dawn to dusk. All of them. So that's why we don't put lights in the parks because we don't want to encourage people to be there at night. And so they are closed at dusk.
Okay.
And it's posted at every park.
Is there any way we could just ask the cop to drive by?
And they do.
The light is a basketball court.
Not always available.
I understand. Simple drive by.
They do.
Yeah.
I can tell you the cops drive by a city park. Only because I've watched them, because they come up my road after they're driving by. Is there anything else we need to discuss about E? Well, then let us move on to new business.
Before we move on, the new public works guy, is he going to be able to make his way in here to meet us ever? Or are we going to get?
I hope to be able to convince him to come to a meeting. But right now, it looks like getting them on speakerphone and just doing the introductions that way will happen first.
And that's what
he starts at 6 a.m. So they have us stay for a meeting that starts at 6 p.m. And he would do it and start later, but his job, he starts at 6
a.m. You were planning on that meeting over the phone in September?
I'm gonna try and convince him to join us on the phone in September.
Okay. Yeah, that would be it.
He's a great guy, you guys will love him.
So next up is the Milwaukee Park new equipment.
A little bit, that's okay. So we're looking at replacing the playground equipment. There it is. That's kind of something that we're looking at. It's gonna be just about the same size and dimensions as the equipment that's there.
She can't rotate that.
No, I can't.
It's okay. Oh.
Yeah, so the equipment that's at Milwaukee Park right now has been Frankenstein a little bit as its parts have broken, they've been replaced, and that's just kind of normal maintenance. But now it's getting to the point where we need an actual piece of replacement equipment, and that's what we're looking at. Kevin Caviezel, our community services director, he's been getting quotes from contractors and just quotes for the overall price.
About how much are we looking?
So just about $39,000 for the replacement. But with that said, we can move in the next item on the agenda. Councilmember Pete Van Reichbauer was generous enough to get us a $10,000 Get Active, Stay Active grant. So it's the same one that was used to help purchase the climbing boulder, but this $10,000 will be used to help pay for the Milwaukee equipment.
That's the one straight down this road.
Yep.
Thank you. And then the $29,000 Does that include the removal and installation, or is it just for the equipment and we will pay?
I think we're still looking at the exactly how we're going to get it removed. I know that there was some talk of using a contractor or the public works crew, but I think there are a couple of variables there that are still getting hammered out.
So I remember when we put it in, I believe that the concrete goes down like 4 feet. So they're going to, I don't know if we have jackhammers and everything, maybe on straight, but that's going to take up. I know when we talked about having the one at the city park removed, they quoted us $45,000 for removal. And I don't know if that was just, but that was not for the new equipment. It was just for the removal and re-prepping the site.
Yes, and from what I've gathered from talking with Kevin about this is hiring contractors for removal is very, very expensive. And it just depends on what company you get and what their prices are like. So the removal is still a question mark.
Okay.
Still figuring it out.
The good news is this isn't expected to be delivered until November. So it won't be real busy part-time and stuff. So, and it won't be, hopefully, that we're not real busy with rain, that the guys will have the time to be able to remove it. We're hoping the public works guys will be able to remove it. So
much cheaper that way.
Oh, yeah.
And then, so the playground equipment, that was just for, so you talked about A and B, C.
So C is, so me and Kevin have discussed pursuing grants and other opportunities to do a yearly replacement of equipment. And so we were kind of thinking if we could replace one piece of playground equipment a year, that would be a great strategy. That way you're not having to spend, because playground equipment is very expensive. You're not having to spend tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars to replace a bunch of equipment at once. You can use grant money to spread it out over a longer period of time.
So will you have that replacement plan ready for us, the draft, in September?
Let's call it October.
October?
So we can be better prepared.
Okay.
And I think, do you guys do a tour in the fall?
We used to do it in the spring, but yes, we need to do it in the fall.
Well, I'm thinking that might be a really good opportunity if you do a tour of all the parks and for the park board to give us guidance, like, because there are some parks that don't really have anything and like prioritize where you'd like to see something placed or that kind of thing as we're building this replacement schedule. Because one of the things that I'm sorry, I don't mean to take them over. You guys should never let me continue to But one of the grants that Kevin's working on, it's a Boeing grant, and it's quite a bit of money, a federal grant to replace existing equipment. Not new, but existing. So he's heavily going after that. And that's like $100,000 to go after. And with that means benches, tables, anything that's already existing in our parks. Because it's a grant that's available because they feel like during COVID, everybody got way behind. And so we have a really good story to tell here in our city. And so that's what Kevin's been working on. So that's the one thing that we want this replacement schedule. But also looking at, if you recall, the promise that I had made to the council, now this could change in January, but the promise I had made to the park board and to council is the levy money that we get, 50% goes to capital, 50% goes to wages. And so there's $50,000 every year that is put in this fund to think about replacing equipment, adding equipment, or doing that kind of thing. So if we work on a schedule, then we kind of have a plan as we're moving forward how to improve our parks. And we know, hey, Aspen Lane's going to get this great piece of equipment, or, you know, Milwaukee's going to get a new table, or, you know, a picnic table, or those kinds of things. But, and one of the things that we had talked about internally doing too is going through and highlighting each park, like to put in the Pacific Pulse and start highlighting our parks. Because somebody made a comment to us, we didn't know we had all these little parks here in the city. And we're like, there are a lot of little parks in the city. So in the Pulse, start highlighting these parks and tell a story about each one. So those are kind of some of the things. But if you're going to do a tour in the fall, I think that would be an ideal time for the park board to come together. This is our priority list. This is where we see this equipment needs to be replaced, or we'd really like to see equipment here. And that's going to help Kevin and Chris come together with a plan. And then what also helps is, I'm not sure if you're aware, that there's a new nonprofit that's being formed, and it's called the Pacific Recreation Community Recreation Foundation of the Pacific or something like that. Anyway, I can't remember the name. It just started. We just filed for our 501c3, and this is to go after big philanthropy money for parks, community center, youth, for all different programs, but it's going to include parks because we're not a nonprofit as a city, and so we don't get, a lot of places don't want to contribute because it's not a tax write-off. But now creating this foundation, and we have the board together. I'm a part of that. Council Member Garbage is a part of that, and we should be receiving our 501c3 status probably within the next month. So if you go to the summer concert, we're selling hamburgers to raise money for the foundation. But but that's how we've been raising money, so that we're able to pay for all the filing fees and everything. But that's another avenue that we want to go down, because one of the goals of the foundation is we want to see, and especially over here at Clint Steiger Park, one of the things we talked about is like play equipment for disabilities. You know, we don't have that in the city, but a merry-go-round for wheelchairs or climbing things, or, you know, rail type equipment, those kinds of things, or autistic type of playground equipment. We have not done any of that in the city. And that's one of the things that, one of the missions that the foundation has decided they want to focus on as far as raising money and going to, and trying to create that.
That's very ambitious and sounds great. I that's really a nice idea. I hope we can move forward with all those ideas.
So I'll just take this one drop off my plate and then focus.
Yeah, that's awesome. That is awesome. I have a question about the 50,000 for salaries and for projects. Is that annual? I mean, those funds are...
Well, it's as long as the park levy is in place. I believe the park levy will be back on the ballot next year. It renews, I think, every 6 years or something like that. Okay. And if it's next year, it's going to be back on the ballot. So if it gets approved, then it'll continue on. And the amount of money that we get is based on our population. I mean, we get a portion of what comes out of the park levy. So we're already paying taxes towards it, so we're getting it back to our community.
I think what has happened is for the first 2 years, all of the non-capital money went to the trail.
I don't know about that. So
I bet we can find it in our minutes.
But I'm talking about the construction of the trail itself.
Yes.
It's possible. I think a lot of it came out of the park impact fee and not necessarily the levy fund, but there's plenty of money in the levy fund right now to move forward and do this. I cannot tell you how that will work after January 1. That will no longer be, it's not a policy. It was like my word to the council. So
can we figure out how much is in? Because we haven't seen a financial report about the park budget. She's gonna go get it.
Right.
And I know this year we paid for the boulder. So we didn't vote on it, the council voted. And so we didn't do a recommendation this year for the 50,000 because it was other people voted on it, not us. That's why we didn't see it this year. Are we ready to move on to city park maintenance?
Yeah, so it's just we got some new wood chips at the playground down at City Park. The other ones just, they had, you know, been submerged for a while and the quality wasn't all there. So we got some new ones, and so it's now safe for children to fall into.
How much was that?
I'm not positive the exact figure, but I know it was, I'll say
between 5 and 7.
I think less than five.
Okay. Did you remove the old wood chips?
I believe they did remove the old ones.
It was like
$6,000. Was it
$6,000
for the wood chips?
97. I wasn't that far off. We spent $14,000 two years ago for them. That's what I was thinking. And that did every part of it except for the city part.
Well, the engineer, fiber, and they're just expensive.
Oh, I understand that. How I came up with my money, with my estimate. So is there anything else to come before us tonight? Any other concerns? Yes, Mark.
Maybe I missed it, but is there any work being done right now to try to replace the acreage that is being taken away, being going to be used by the county? In other words, is the city park replacement, is it being considered right now? Is there any work being done to try to get more acres?
At this time, I do not believe that we are looking at any additional property.
So Mark has been working on a grant to get, I think it's $204,000 from Conservation Futures to purchase property.
If I may call a point of order, we would need to add this to the agenda since we are not an audience comment. And we have an audience member speaking, and we were talking about a different subject. We would need to amend the agenda to add this topic or just stop talking about it and add it to the next agenda.
What is your pleasure?
I am fine with tabling it to the next meeting.
Could you Make please it. Add it to our next agenda?
Absolutely.
We will be discussing it at our next scheduled meeting on the 19th day of September.
I promise I won't come and interrupt.
Is there anything else to come before us this evening? All those in favor of adjournment, please say aye.
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 All those opposed? We are now adjourned.
Thank you. Good night.
Thank you.